a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. This will begin the Democratic Press Leadership Conference. Democratic Leadership Press Conference. Speaking for the Democrats today are Assistant Minority Leader Julie Bartling of Burke, House Minority Leader Spence Hawley of Brookings, and Senate Minority Leader Billy Sutton of Burke. Thank you.
Well, I think I'll get it kicked off. Welcome to your state capitol. Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator. I'm also the Senate Minority Leader. What we want to talk to you today is about agriculture in South Dakota. You know, ag is our number one industry in South Dakota, and sometimes here in Pierre, we feel like that ag is expected to do more and more every year, and sometimes that's a frustrating thing for us as a Democratic Party to stomach. You know, total production in ag and, you know, the effect in South Dakota is $25.6 billion, or more than 30% of South Dakota's total output. One in every five jobs in South Dakota is ag-related. It makes up 115,651 jobs in South Dakota based on the last report. 37 out of South Dakota's 66 counties derive at least one-half of their total output from ag and ag-related industries. You know, and the majority of South Dakota's farmers in South Dakota are small family farms. You know, I grew up on a ranch. I'm a fourth generation South Dakota rancher, and I've seen firsthand, you know, the effect that agriculture has on our economy.
Hello, radio.
And especially, you know, our local economies in rural South Dakota. It's a big deal for South Dakota what ag has done for us. Which brings me to a bill that we had on the Senate floor, Senate Bill 4, which would have looked at actual use in South Dakota. And it's pretty self-explanatory, but we would have looked to study that, partnered with South Dakota State University to study actual use. And what it would have done is just given us the numbers to determine if that's a model that we should be looking at in South Dakota. And it was a frustrating thing to see that die, and so the powers that be didn't even want to see the numbers determined to see if that's the right direction to go. And so many times in Pierre, we're able to study a lot of different things, and this is one area that we just haven't addressed. We don't, and personally, I don't believe it's fair that if you have crop-rated soil and it's in grass, you're getting taxed at a crop level. And that's what this would seek to address, is look at what are you actually using the land for. And so our tax structure is incentivizing people and forcing them to make a management decision based on what your tax structure is. And that's just not a good precedent to set, not a good policy to follow. And so we're hopeful that we can continue this conversation, because this came out of the Ag Land Assessment Task Force that works very diligently on ag issues and our new productivity model. And with that, I'm going to transition into Representative Bartling's discussion about the Ag Land Assessment Task Force and some of the things that we're seeing there.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. Representative Julie Bartling from District 21, the Burke and Gregory area. I do serve on the Ag Land Task Force, the Oversight Task Force, along with Senator Sutton and a number of other legislators from the body. And what we deal with is working to fulfill the statute that requires that cropland and non-crop land get to full productivity. And so we continue to work on that. We've got, with our non-crop land, you know, amazingly, most of the counties, 65 of them, are at full production. We just have one county that is still trying to make that transition, and they're limited to a 25% increase yet in 2015. So it's been really well worked to the cropland. We've got some really significant deficiencies. We've only got six counties across the state that are a full productivity model, and the balance of them are climbing incrementally from 15 to 20 to 25%. And so we're seeing those values jump pretty significantly in some of those counties, getting that value up into that productivity model. And so it's been quite a challenge, not only for our county assessors, but the Department of Revenue to get this implemented. And hopefully we can continue to do that and get that done. The tough part about it is for our agriculture producers is that's a significant increase, especially a 25% increase in your value is really high. And with low crop prices, you know, especially this last year, those increased in values do equate to higher taxes, and that is really tough. So we hope that, you know, we can kind of move through this and ease it and do what we can to help those producers out there. I myself and my husband are third generation agriculture involvement, and so, you know, we see the impact as well on what is happening in agriculture and the need to make sure that our number one industry in South Dakota continues to be number one, and that we don't have some issues that fall on that. Other areas of the Ag Land Task Force that we have been working on over the past year, one was, and you may remember a bill last year's session that was going to actually kind of change what I call production agriculture, and it was in regards to small acreage farming, and primarily out in the Black Hills area with the timber industry. That bill failed on the House floor last year, and there were attempts through the conversations this summer to try and revitalize some language, but it just the Ag Land Task Force itself just couldn't come to a comfortable conclusion on really changing the identification of what true family farming agriculture is. So, but we didn't see a bill come privately from another legislator this year either. So I'm sure that measure will continue to come back time and time again. But we certainly, as Democrats, we are, you know, true supporters of the family farm. And, you know, there's always the concern that the family farm is losing its identity, and we want to continue to fight for that and make sure that our farmers and ranchers are continually protected in what they need to do for their families and for their income and livelihood here in South Dakota. And so with that, I will turn it over to the minority leader and allow him to comment as well.
Thank you, Representative Barling. Spence Hawley, the House Minority Leader. As we talk about ag, the Ag Land Task Force we had, it all drills back down into the taxes, and we know the driver at the local level, 70-80% of the property taxes are for education. And the problem that ends up here is over the last few years, there's been a bigger and bigger shift to push back the taxes to the local level, and a solution for school funding to push it back to the local level, property taxes, which ag is a big driver of expense. In 2004, we had 174 districts. 52 of those districts are an opt-out for a total of $15 million. That was 2004. Now we have 44% of the school districts are an opt-out. 66 of the districts out of 151. We are at $26 million in opt-out. And that's, so since 2004 to now, we've gone from $15 million to $26 million that's being paid in opt-outs. That's a direct shift back to the local effort, which is the ag picks up a good share of that. 27% increase in opt-outs. There's 23 districts less in that same time frame at the same time we've increased the $12 million. You know, and this year, there's a direct efforts by administration and some of the legislators to do a further shift of this. And 1207 was an example of this. It's a capital outlay bill. It was killed in the House, but some form's going to come back in the Senate side. And the intent is to cap the growth of the capital outlay funds. As the ag value assessments have gone up, the actual capital outlay taxation has increased quite a bit. And we agree with that. The intent of the bill, though, caps the capital outlay, and then there's going to be a transfer of funds of $72 to increase the public PSA, the per student allocation at the local level was the proposal. And then that helps the schools survive losing capital outlay funds. Well, historically, The split is the state pays 53% of that PSA, and the local pays 47%. When we do this transfer of those $72 and not use capital outlay and allow $72, the state's not picking that cost up. So the answer is that they then change the allocation from 50 to 50-50. So now the schools are going to get $72 more, and they're saving on the ag taxation increase. But guess what? We need to go back to the local level now and increase the taxation for the general fund tax to pick that up. Historically, under the Cutler-Gabriel, that has been used before, that's the agreement we use every year on how we're splitting the levies between ag, non-ag, and residential. That has been about an 18.3% ag cap is what they've capped. Well, to do this, they're going to have to change that cap in the ag up to 20%, and that's a ballpark number. So there's got to be a change. So we're going to help ag on the one side, but on the other side, we're going to come back to the local and say, we're solving your problem, but you guys are the ones that are going to solve it. And it's not a state solution. And that's the concern, is that every time we have a solution, and I don't fault the intent to cap the growth of the capital outlay on the assessments, but I have the problem when we always go back to the locals and say, we got a problem, and you're the ones that are going to solve it. And we put it on the back of the local taxpayers. The other issue I just wanted to address quickly, we got a few minutes, is that we've got the roads and bridges tax, SB1. We killed the House bill in the House side, and the Senate Bill 1 was passed over from the Senate on the roads and bridges tax. As we've had more and more discussion on this, and this relates back into the ag, because the concern that we've got is that I don't know if there's enough funds in there for our local, for the counties and the local townships. And that's where our real road problem is right now. Part of the intent of the bill is that we're going to give, of the $50 million, about $40 million of it's going to the state, and roughly $10 million is going to local. And the purpose on the state side is to maintain the roads they're at now, because we've had all the stimulus dollars and our roads are in great shape and we want to keep them where they're at. Well, the reality is, on the other side, our county and townships, the roads are in terrible shape. And it's not a question of maintaining the roads. It's a question, how do we get the roads back up into drivable condition? You go to the northeast corner of the state, they're closing roads because they're so bad they don't want the liability of anybody driving down them. And so our question that we have right now in the Senate and the House side is what is correct? What should we be doing? And we're hoping, as we get into this discussion, it'll be coming up in House State Affairs and into the floor, and it's going to have to go back to the Senate probably for a conference committee. But we need to look at a better mix for the counties, whether it be another form of taxation or a split of the proposed in there. But the $10 million that they're proposing, I don't think is going to be considered adequate for what we want to accomplish. And that really comes back to the ag. For our producers to get the market, their product to market, they've got to have good roads. As we get into the discussion of dairies and all of that, and what do we want to have is our growth factor in our area of the state, they got to have good roads to get their product in and out. And I think that'll be the big topic coming up next week. And I'm picking up more and more support that there isn't enough for the local in this bill, and we need to have that discussion. Do you have any comments on that?
No, I think you summed it up pretty well. The bottom line is that our main focus is going to be fighting for local agriculture and for, local government entities to make sure that they have enough dollars available and that the state pays its fair share as well. Because as we started when we, had this original conversation, is that the state greatly, greatly benefits from our ag industry. Number one industry in South Dakota. And so the state should have a share in making sure that our roads and bridges are adequate as well, a bigger share than what they're proposing right now. And so with that, I think we'd open it up for questions, and appreciate the time, appreciate the opportunity.
Are there any callers on the line that I'd like to ask a question?
Jackie?
Always. Could you go back to the property taxes and the valuation? There's a lot of jargon, and maybe a lot of people don't know what's going on here. Could you, and it's a, not easy to explain either, but maybe could you give me a little history on why we're going, why we went with the productivity model and what's going on there?
You know, that was back in like 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. There was a lot of concern that the valuation in property taxes on the ag sector was based on market, primarily market and using soil. There's a wide range of tools that the assessors can use, but with the continual, you know, growing in the market, because the value of land, I should say, not the market, but the value of the land when it is sold, you know, was really starting to raise some concerns, especially in eastern South Dakota, because we do have some land out in eastern South Dakota that sells for some very high numbers, extremely high. And you look at when that land sells for that value, of course, as a producer, you look at it and you say, am I ever going to be able to pay for that? Is it going to be able to produce off that land to actually pay for the cost that land is going for? And so that was raising some huge concerns out there in the local counties, as well as with the Department of Revenue, as far as trying to equalize all those values. So this productivity model was brought in. I was in the Senate, actually, at the time when that was started, and thinking that, you know, looking at what the land can produce, in a sense, it's almost like an income tax when you think about it, because you're being, your value of your land is actually going to be adjusted based on what the crop prices are and the productivity. It's on an 8-year Olympic average, so it gets averaged out. So high years and low years eventually get thrown into the mix and thrown out. But that is the reason why it actually came into being, is because there was
one of the other big factors, if we remember back at that time too, is that we had in our taxation that it was based on market value and of relative sales on that type of land or that home or whatever it was. And if you remember, that land value started jumping, but we had a cap of 50%, that if it was over 50% of what your value is currently, it was thrown out and it wasn't taken in. So we had this huge jump in land prices, and then they were throwing out most of the sales for the adjustment. So to be at an 80% value, it was growing dramatically, and to get the assessment up to market value, it was a huge jump. And so the thought process, well, this is the perfect time to go to the product or production model on what it's actually producing, and there was a jump. When we jumped on it, they switched over, and then the SDSU worked, and they came up with the values, and some counties were way off. So there was a cap that they could go up every year, but they had a 10% cap that they could go up. Well, 2 years ago, the numbers, in 2018, they got to be at 100% phone true, and some counties were way off. So we passed a bill 2 years ago to say we can go to 25%. And then that way, you can go up more every year, and in 2018, you don't have to double or whatever. Well, the problem we got is a lot of counties didn't take the full use of the 25% because it was a good jump. So we've got a crunch coming at 2018 right now when we need to be at the full and true value, and it's because a lot of the counties just haven't got the values up where they need to be. Again, I use Brookings County just because where I'm at, and I was visit with our assessor. We're in really good shape. We're about 90%. So for us, there isn't too big a crunch coming, but you go up into Brown County, and out in your guys' area, there's some huge increases coming down the road. So that's part of this discussion of it, and it's only going to make it worse on the ag side in some of these counties. They're in for some real surprises down the road.
And most non-crop have caught up to their values. As Representative Bartling said, it's mostly the crop that we're talking about. And there are discussions going on here in Pier, and maybe that's something the Ag Land Task Force needs to look at and the legislature needs to look at, to maybe look at extending when we have to get to full and true value. I know that those discussions are going on because some counties just are seeing such huge increases and they're finding it hard to catch up. even with those huge increases. So,
and why some of them really did get behind so far is in some of those counties, they just didn't have, as Representative Hawley said, credible sales that they could actually use to determine what the average market would be, you know, to determine how to assess the ag property. They just didn't have those credible sales. So, you know, counties, it was in defense of them in a sense. They did get behind just because they didn't have the sales that they could actually utilize.
The other factors in here, too, the discussion is the commodity prices. Right now, the commodity prices are way down, but they were up pretty high for 2 years. And this production model actually has about a year lag in it from when they produce the numbers to when the taxation comes out. So right now, the dollars that we're seeing, even though we got really low commodity prices out there, they're seeing an increase in their value of their land based on productivity. And so it's going to take a couple years before that, if we stay at low commodity prices, that's going to level off or even drop off a little bit. But I don't know how far it's going to drop off.
It's not a perfect system. I mean, it is a work in progress. But I guess what I'd say is that even though because of what Spence just said, even though your valuations go up, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have the income necessary to pay that increased tax either. I mean, even though it is tied to productivity, there is a lag there, and that can put some pressure on our producers.
And help me get a sense for someone who's not a landowner and doesn't have to deal with this. So what's the actual... So the assessors, do they take soil samples to determine what your productivity should be if it should be used for cropland, or how does that really actually work?
Yeah, the counties in probably the 70s and 80s went out and did soil surveys. It was through the USDA and they had teams that came out and actually went out on each parcels, and they did soil surveys to determine the type of soil, and then they've got this massive layout of what the best rated soils are for raising, you know, crops versus non-crop. And that's where this actual use thing is, I think, is really, really important, because some of the land, when you get out into, you know, say western South Dakota and some of those rolling hills and whatnot, some of that is some really fine soil that could probably really do a raise crops great. So it's got a high value up there for it. But you shouldn't be cropping it. You should leave it in grass or pasture, because you talk about erosion, and when you start tearing grassland up, a virgin sod, you never get it back to where it could be. And coming from a family, my family's always been in the conservation efforts from dating back to my grandfather, and you know, you remember the days when the blowing soil and whatnot, and there's been so much done to conserve soil and to keep it so that we don't lose that again. And you start tearing up that land simply just because it has a high rating to grow maybe some really, you know, great bushels of corn or soybeans or something like that, but you're going to lose... You lose the soil, and so we lose our conservation efforts. And I think actual use really needs to be taken a look at, and it is disappointing that the bill did not come off the floor. It would have been a minimal amount spent, I believe, in the long run to really, truly get our assessments where they need to be.
Because it'd be likely that we don't know without seeing the numbers, but it's likely that there would be a shift between crop and non-crop. We just don't know what that shift would be, but it's just really important that we take a look at these kind of things so that we're not, I've heard from several producers that say, I might as well put it in corn because I'm getting taxes if it's cropland. But I'm running cows on it, and I, in the past, haven't been able to make as much money on my cow. Now, that's changed a little bit here in the last couple of years with the way the, you know, the prices have changed. But still, it's a fairness issue to me. If you're using it for grassland, that's what you should be taxed at. And, you know, I mean, I guess like minds can disagree, but we at least need to study it and determine what the effects will be and get into that. And we just haven't been able to do that. You know, that bill, I think it was for $151,000, and we amended it down to a dollar, as is pretty common practice here in Pierre to keep legislation moving until we know how many dollars we have left, and then we can prioritize those dollars the last couple days of session. And we've passed out, you know, a multitude of bills that have $1 in them, but this one didn't get out. One of the very few bills that only that didn't get out that had a dollar in it. And so there's an unwillingness to address this, and it's pretty frustrating.
Are there any questions on the line? No?
Just real quick, do you know of any other states that are doing actual use right now?
Good question.
I don't know that answer. It's a valid question, but I think that through the SDSU study, they would have been looking at what other states are doing. We've talked about what other states are doing with their, you know, property tax system. I'm not aware of any that are doing actual use. Right now in statute, there are exemptions for actual use if you can't get to the land, if it's, you know, got a bunch of rocks on it, if it's covered by water. I mean, there are exemptions in statute, but there's no exemption for what you're actually using it for.
You might add, though, and there is a little bit of latitude in there for assessors, and a few of the counties have been using it as much as possible to try to get it back to an actual use. Not the majority, but a few of them. And in those, when you visit with those people from those counties, they feel that it works much better when they've been doing it that way.
Well, it's about 10:30, and I think the legislators are need to get to committee, so I guess we'll have closing remarks from you guys.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we just close with saying we're looking forward to the last couple weeks of session here. It's going to happen pretty fast. Revenue projections will be coming out next week, and we'll need to monitor those pretty closely. We're hearing that maybe our revenue projections aren't going to be so bright, but I guess we'll see that when it comes to us. If there are dollars available, there's going to be a focus from our end on education and healthcare, just as we've focused on the last, you know, in my tenure here. That's been the goal, is to get more money into education and healthcare. And if there's any dollars left, that will be our focus. Much of the session now is going to revolve around the budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, the different priorities that are out there, and we'll just let the chips fall where they may.
There are a few bills still going through committees and on the floor on the policy side. But as we get into this last week, and as the revenue projections, we're told, aren't as optimistic as when the governor made his initial proposal, there's going to even have to be cuts from the governor's proposal out there, it sounds like. So there's some frayed nerves now after the weeks we've been out here. And I assume that last week there will be some extremely frayed nerves, because there's going to be some hard decisions made on what's going to survive and what's not going to make it. And I don't see – the governor had not left any extra dollars on the table in his initial budget anyhow. So there will be even less of those coming back off the table now that he had proposed. So it'll be an interesting 2 weeks here. But thank you again for your time. Thanks for the questions. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the Democrats will be at 9:30 next week, and the Republicans at 10, and the governor's press conference coming up next. And thanks to Marshall Damgaard's USD class for coming today.